For those of us who have already decided to call on Jesus, to follow him, and are trying to follow him, one of our important roles to play is to pray with boldness. Pray with boldness that God will send down the blessings of heaven into our lives on earth. And to daily remember that just as he has given his love to us freely and without merit, so too are we called to pass this love on. Remember that story I started with of the lady in the hospital? The woman wanted some of that too, the good news of escape from sin and death, hope of everlasting life. Who do we know in our lives right now that desperately needs to hear that good news of freedom? I am very glad that we have many more weeks ahead of us for this sermon series as we continue to dwell on this idea of no fear in love, in the love of God. And I'm very grateful for all of those who are preaching, particularly Rachel. So please keep her in your prayers as she prepares to teach us and share God's word with us. And so what I'd like to do now is move on to talk about General Synod. So I apologize for those of you who are visiting today, if there are any of you visiting. This is a bit of family housekeeping. But I think it's important for us to talk about it, and I'd rather talk about it in a timely way than wait. And we're going to, in a moment, but first I want to say thank you for your prayer and your support over me over the past week. It was an important council of the church and our denomination, and thank you for supporting me and allowing me to go. I'm glad to be home. Synod, General Synod, is our national parliament. So we have local diocesan parliament, what we call it? We call it Synod. There's probably a preface to that. But anyway, Toronto Synod, we gather every year. And as you may remember, that we as a congregation vote in two members of the congregation to represent this church at our Toronto Synod. And so at the moment, we have two delegates to Synod. They're both here. So Colin is here, and also Rob is here. Rob Robotham, can you wave your hand? They're both lovely guys who are quiet and shy, so, and don't like having their pictures being taken. And then there's me. And so I also, as a clergy member, all clergy who are active in the diocese go and participate in our synods, okay, in our Toronto diocesan synods. And then from our area synods, we elect members from the House of Laity, it's called, so lay people, people who are not ordained, and the House of Clergy. And then all the bishops get to go. They don't even have to get voted in because they got voted in as bishops. They just get to go. So that's how it works. So we had at Synod, our General Synod this year, more than 300 delegates, partners, and guests. And we were participating in this parliament where we were making decisions central to living out God's mission in the world. And it happens, our General Synod happens every 3 years. Decisions are made at General Synod, and then the Council of General Synod has the responsibility for implementing the decisions that are made by the gathering, right? So there were many decisions, many motions that were put forward, and now it's the responsibility of the Council to make those things happen. I'm not on the Council. I am merely a member of General Synod now for the next 3 years. I don't expect to have any direct roles anymore, but So Toronto sent, I should say, 8 lay people, 8 clergy, 1 youth member, and 4 out of the 5 bishops. So Bishop Peter Fenty, unfortunately, is unwell at the moment, so he was not able to attend. So we had 4 of the 5 bishops of Toronto attending and voting. So I want to talk about some key things that happened, but I think maybe what we should do first is we're going to watch a video that our Bishop of Toronto, Bishop Andrew, made just after the big vote.
Our meeting of General Synod has now come to a close. And over the last week, we have been engaged in much hard work and made some very important decisions together. We welcomed with great joy our new primate, Archbishop Linda Nichols, who is a great friend to the Diocese of Toronto. We have made great strides in supporting the self-determining Indigenous Church, acknowledging that there is still much work to be done in the Ministry of Reconciliation, which began with a heartfelt apology for the spiritual abuses inflicted on our first people by the Church. These were powerful and grace-filled moments at General Synod. On Friday, however, the motion to change the marriage canon to include same-sex marriage failed to meet the threshold of a two-thirds majority in the House of Bishops. This was a devastating moment, not just for our LGBTQ2S community members, their families, and their friends, but for the vast majority of General Synod members, myself included. The Synod did affirm that faithful Anglicans may hold, teach, and exercise different views of marriage, which include same-sex couples. The House of Bishops, in its subsequent statement, affirm the need for local option. I will therefore continue to offer pastoral guidelines for same-sex marriage in the Diocese of Toronto. If your parish feels called to offer marriage to same-sex couples, please follow, for now, the current guidelines. Write to me, ask for permission, and I will grant it. It's important to remember that there are many faithful Anglicans, clergy and laity and parishes in this diocese that hold to the traditional view of marriage. You have, and will always have, a cherished place in this diocese. It is clear that God is not finished with this matter in the Church, and it is important for all of us to pull together in these tumultuous times. At my installation as your bishop, I pledge to walk with you, to walk with all of you, and know that I continue to hold to that promise, that we may pull together, work together, pray together, that we may be the people of God in the Diocese of Toronto, that we will always walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I will have more to say in the fall about General Synod and about our way forward, but in the meantime, I would ask that you pray for each other, hold each other with generosity of spirit, with grace, and with love. Pray with me, pray for me, and pray for each other. Thank you.
So I'd like to talk about some of the things that happened at Synod, and Bishop Andrew has named many of them. First, on something that the way we actually started our schedule was steps towards reconciliation with our First Peoples. There was an amendment passed to our church law, which is called canon law. So I'm going to use some of this terminology just to give you a flavor, okay? So you know what I've been hearing in. Changed the canon law to make the National Indigenous Ministry self-governing and in line with the UN declaration for the, it's called UNDRIP, UNDRIP, Indigenous Peoples, Reconciliation with Indigenous Peoples. I think that's the R. I'm sorry. Canada is not currently a signatory, but the Anglican Church is committed to following those principles. And to make the National Indigenous Anglican Bishop the rank of Archbishop, which is the highest rank any bishop can hold. So many of you may have been here when then Bishop Mark MacDonald was here. He is now Archbishop, which is really good news. It means he sits on par with all the high bishops, and it means he has more autonomy to undertake his ministry across this land from coast to coast to coast. An apology for spiritual harm was offered by our then primate Archbishop Fred Hiltz. It was a very emotional moment. At the table that I sat with for much of the time, I had an indigenous bishop from the Territory of the Peoples and as well a principal from northern Manitoba who had been at residential school. And so when this apology was being read, the hall was filled with weeping. Then, in response, the elders on that day asked for time and space to reflect on the apology. And then towards the closing of Synod, they made a statement. So the Indigenous elders of General Synod of 2019 made a statement in response to the primate's apology for spiritual harm. And you can read that online if you would like, but I will... I would commend you to read that. One important thing that I took from it was that the elders did not accept the apology, but rather said that all members of the Indigenous community, of the Anglican community particularly, it was for them to accept the apology and for reconciliation to be worked out and in an ongoing basis. So it wasn't done in that moment, but reconciliation is a process. So again, I commend that statement, both those statements, the apology for spiritual harm and the response by the Indigenous elders of General Synod. One of the Indigenous elders is Canon Norm Wesley. And those of you who helped to host the meal for the Wycliffe leadership students who came, we've hosted a couple of times, but the most recent gathering, Ken and Norm was present at that gathering. He and I had the opportunity to speak earlier in the week, and he told me about that the visit that he and the others had here was very special to them, and he would welcome the opportunity to come back. So I'm not sure if he will come back. I will say just off the off script here that when I spoke with him, he was talking to me about the impact of spiritual harm on the Indigenous Anglican community and the Christian community more widely. He told me about a powwow that was planned in a community in the James Bay region. And as an extension of hospitality, that some of the elders in the community forbade the powwow to occur because the understanding is that there are certain Indigenous spiritual practices that have been forbidden by the church, including the Anglican Church, that there is a no-go area, right, for people. There is much work still to be done, it's much for us to pray for, I think. Okay? So please read the apology and please read the response because there's a lot of detail in there that I'm not able to share with you now. On the ecumenical front, the Anglican Church of Canada we voted to be in full communion with the Episcopal, we are in full communion with the Episcopal Church in the United States. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada, we are actually already in full communion with them, and to enter into full communion with the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. This is actually a really big deal, is a sign of unity, I think, in the wider church, and something that it was lovely to see. Also, voted to change. There's a prayer in the Book of Common Prayer, which is one of our authorized prayer books, the Little Burgundy Book. about the Jewish people. And that prayer is being has been changed officially as of Synod to shift from conversion for Jews to reconciliation with the Jewish people. And we had a talk by a rabbi and scholar from the Vancouver area, which was also very moving. We also had a presentation from an imam from the Vancouver area, and the Anglican Church of Canada is participating in something called Seeking a Common Word, which is a Muslim-Christian dialogue. We were also visited by the Archbishop of Jerusalem, who spoke about the work and ministry of the Anglican Church in Jerusalem. I'd like to talk about the marriage canon, and I will talk about some of these pictures that are in front of you as well. So the canon, as I said, is legal, is church law. So we have them at a diocesan level, and we have them at a national level. We have a canon on marriage. We don't have canons on all the sacraments, but there is one on marriage. The amendment that was proposed and passed 3 years ago, so at the previous General Synod, amended to shift to that those who would be qualified to marry in the Anglican Church of Canada would be all those who qualified under civil law. The preface also was to include language that said that members are entitled to hold, teach, and exercise a view on marriage, either in support or against of this shift, provided that they recognize and respect that others may with integrity hold, teach, and exercise a different view. Also, the amendment included that the Indigenous communities, the Indigenous Anglican communities, have particular understandings about the nature of marriage, as well as their own ways of making decisions, both of which are protected by the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. And so this amendment said that the Indigenous Anglican community would continue to discern whether same-sex marriage would be acceptable in their communities on their own, in their own time, outside of General Synod. So those were the big changes to the marriage canon. Needless to say, I don't know if anybody watched it on the live stream, the debate, which happened after all of the really beautiful things that had happened in relation to the Indigenous Anglicans in our community, wider community. The debate had its moments of being very hard and hard-hearted. The vote happened, and because it would have been a change to our law, our canon law, it had to be passed two times in a row by all three houses, so the laity, the clergy, and the bishops. So this is all kind of poli-sci. For those of you who love it, this is great. So it did pass 3 years ago at the General Synod in Toronto. In Vancouver, it did not pass. It passed in the laity, it passed in the clergy, but did not pass in the House of Bishops. I'm going to tell you that I voted in favor of this motion because of the space that it afforded to LGBTQ two-spirited Christians, and also for those who hold a historic understanding of marriage, as well as articulating a self-determination for the Indigenous Anglican communities. Because this motion amendment did not pass, none of those things are now included in our marriage canon. There was much pain, division, and confusion following this vote. You can also see from or hear from Bishop Andrew that Toronto Diocese will continue, because it has already been, it will continue to give permission to those parishes that want to perform same-sex marriages. Okay. I myself still have lots of questions about same-sex marriage. So it's not something that I am able to do at this time. But I recognize in our own community we have many different views. It's partly why I voted for the amendment, because it gave space for, I guess, a community like us, gave words to a community like ours where there are different views. I expect that an amendment will come back again at the next synod. God bless those who go. I will continue to stand and advocate for the ability to hold and act by my conscience, as I have been already in the diocese. I haven't really talked about it, but I feel that it's very important for those who have, like me, have questions, or for those who hold very strongly to a traditional or historic view on marriage, that those, my colleagues, have the space to continue to minister in our communities across this diocese. So like Bishop Andrew, I would say let's continue to pray for each other. Let's pray for each other in our community here of Church of the Resurrection. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters, our siblings, not only here in Toronto, but in the wider world. It's been startling to me, those who have spoken to me about seeing my picture in the CBC. Yeah. We are in an embarrassing situation right now, right? We look bad. We don't have our proverbial together, right?
Who do you mean we?
Christians. I do not think that that the Christian community and the is not seen by the wider culture that we have our stuff together.
Has it ever been?
I think during Christendom we had a much safer and cozier relationship with culture. Yeah, and I don't think we do now. But that is not for us to despair. We are called to be bearers of light and life. And I call for all of you to pray for me, pray for wisdom, as we make steps forward. I'd be happy to entertain a few questions. I do not want, though, I would love to answer some questions. I don't, though, want to discuss the merits or not of the particular motion, if that's okay. Yeah, because I did a lot of that last week. Yes, Anne.
No, I just wondered if you happen to know what changed in the bishops that it passed 3 years ago.
That's a really good question. So Anne says, why did it pass 3 years ago and not? So every diocese will re-elect, at their synods, will re-elect new delegates for the general synod. So that's one. So I was not a delegate 3 years ago, but in 2016, but I was a delegate this time. For some reason, people thought that I might be okay there, so that's great. And same with the bishops. So bishops retire, bishops die, and new bishops are elected. So I'm not even sure, even with our own bishops, what the... Yeah, so Bishop Yu, for example, Bishop Patrick Yu, who was our bishop in 2016, voted. He didn't... He's retired, so he wasn't there. Yeah. So, yes, Jeremy.
I don't need to go into detail. I need you to go into detail. But during the discussion, was biblical wisdom consulted as in the process of that discussion?
Yes, it was. I think there's lots of work that's been done in advance of that. But also, I guess, Jeremy, I would say that I am now of the view that I think that there are people who make biblical arguments in support of same-sex marriage, right? And so that's, I think that's true. Not that I don't agree with every argument that's presented myself, and I'm guessing that you don't either. But indeed, yeah. There were also a lot of emotional arguments that were made on all sides. Once the vote results were shown, again, there was weeping, and people ran out of the room. And so the picture that you saw of me was that there were people who were near me who were howling. with sadness. It was very horrible. And for me, in that moment, I saw the brokenness and disunity of our denomination. After the high of, oh great, aren't we so good to Indigenous peoples? Yay, we're so great. And then this moment, right? Yeah. Any other questions? Tommy.
I was with you and Sean that we did that before when we read the book on traditional marriage.
Yeah. Four views of the Bible on homosexuality or something? Two views. Yes. Yes.
Instead of for and against, but mm-hmm. What I love about this congregation is the conversation continues to happen for mm-hmm. against, because wherever we fall on an argument 3 years ago, people were very hurt by that. Mm-hmm. So that you and your leadership will continue to try and keep the family together mm-hmm. no matter.
Yeah.
And
not in our lifetimes.
not my lifetime.
Yeah.
But these are things. These are how we deal, how we can agree to disagree for life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all watching, and I just mm-hmm. want to say I appreciate the conversation
mm-hmm.
and the prayers.
Thank you. And for us as a community, as a community of faith, that we'd be a community of faith for our neighborhood, right? And that would be a space for the neighborhood, right? And we're going to be figuring that out. Okay, so Marcus and then Rachel. Yeah, so Marcus is asking a question about how the voting went. Yeah, so there, yes, go ahead, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so it has to pass in each of the three houses. No, 66.6 recurring in each of the houses. 66, so two-thirds in each of the houses. So 66.6 recurring percent minimum in each of the three houses. So the laity have to support it, the clergy have to support it by 66.6%, and the bishops have to support by 66.6% or more for a change like that to happen. We all voted at the same time. We had electronic clickers, and then our clickers told them if we were lay or clergy or bishop. So, No, because, so Marcus's question were, does each house have equal strength? No. There are fewer bishops, for example, right? And each diocese, so, I mean, this is poli sci.
Like, okay, there are like 30 lay people, 20 bishops. But, let's say, the 10 bishops, they have the same strength.
Yes, so Marcus is making a good point, and I'm going to extrapolate. Marcus is saying, but the bishops have more weight. So one bishop vote is worth more than a layperson vote. Yes, because there are fewer of them. No, there are fewer bishops, so they get more of a... So the mathematically engaged of us. So because I can't remember how many bishops. I'm going to say 30 to 40. Bishops from across Canada, whereas, you know, and every diocese has a different number of bishops. So in Toronto, we have 5 bishops. So our diocese actually provided a lot of bishops, but we're also very big. So in the same way that Church of the Resurrection gets to elect 2 lay members to our Toronto Synod because of our size. If we were bigger, we could send more. If we were smaller, we would send 1. But we're big enough to send 2. Rachel, and then Alex. And Alex, you'll be the last one.
This is a different topic. But so knowing all the representatives and how many are there and that kind of thing, how do they sort of
Yeah, so Rachel's asking, do we know the representation of Anglicans in Canada? Yes. I believe that the numbers are not being taken accurately at this time. It was reported that our numbers are in decline and that our income is in decline, yeah, nationally, yeah. So you may not know, but we, as a parish, give like a tax. It's called an allotment. So Alan knows all about it. His head, and Kim will know all about it too. So we send an allotment to our diocese, and it kind of helps the diocese run. In a similar way, our diocese sends an allotment to the national church, and fewer churches are able. It's a free will gift. But fewer are able to give what they have committed to give, and so income is dropping. Yeah. Alex, last question. Mm-hmm. Well, so Alex's question is, why were they so different from the rest?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't want to dwell too much in the stats, although they are part of it. I think it was, they lost by one vote. So it was very close. But they were also in great disagreement, and that was another cause of, for me, grief, because the bishops were, not in fellowship for a time. And so they were sequestered for some time. And they came out with a statement together that was read in the house, an apology as well to the house, and not all the bishops were able to stand. So there's division in our midst. Yeah. I don't think it's a bad thing, it's just where we're at. I'm trying to be open. In Toronto, our bishops are all not one mind. So what Bishop Andrews said, not all of them agree with.
Yeah, that didn't come across in his message.
No, it hasn't. They have, as a college, they have published a number of statements where they have said that they are of different minds, but it didn't come across in the video. You're right. I agree. And ultimately, he's the one who, as the Bishop of Toronto, gets to... He was elected by our synod. So, beg pardon?
He's the Archbishop of Toronto.
So, no, he is the Bishop of Toronto. Bishop Kevin is the suffragan bishop, so he's below the Bishop of Toronto. And then whoever is the bishop of all of our ecclesiastical province, so it's called the Province of Ontario, becomes the Archbishop. So at the moment... The Bishop of Algoma is also the Archbishop of Ontario. So there's some church nerdism for you. Okay. Thank you for listening. And I'm happy to... So Bishop Andrews said that he's going to make some more statements in the fall. So we're kind of going to wait and see what that is. I don't want to say anything because I'm not really sure how it's going to... reveal itself. Can I just point a couple of these pictures, if I may? So there's a church sanctuary. I got to go in and worship with my aunt and my uncle and my cousins in Vancouver, in their Lutheran church in downtown Vancouver, and that was a great delight, and I couldn't have done that if I didn't have your support to be there. It was also my aunt's funeral yesterday, so I couldn't be there for that, but I was able to spend some time with them, and that was very, very special. You can't really see it, but in the text is talking about how we were to interact with one another. So we used at table. So we used an indigenous-based method of listening and not responding to each other. And as I said, there was an indigenous bishop who led our table, and she brought a gift thing, and whoever had the gift little sack was able to speak. And then we then, having spoken or what we had to say, were then invited to pass it to another person. And if that person wanted to speak, they could. If they didn't, they could pass it on to another person. So there was, with an, I guess, an approach of listening to each other. So I just wanted to share that with you. The next picture along, you can't really see it great, really super well, but is of the Indigenous elders responding to the apology by the primate. The next picture of the Allium, I went for a run every morning because it was very stressful at Synod. So I would get up I was getting up early anyway because I was in Toronto time, and I'd run by the sea, and it was so beautiful. So that's a picture of that. That was a great gift of God to me. I would sometimes just sit on a stone and pray. I don't know what that picture, the next picture just gives you a flavor of what it was like there. Big screens, a bit like here. The worship was phenomenal, actually. It's the first time I've been in an Anglican, because our synods, usually the worship's not so great, right, Rob? It's really pretty, am I right, Colin? The sung worship is pretty, but this worship was fantastic. So, yeah, we sang some really good. And there was a hymn that was written in honor of the Archbishop retiring, so we got to sing that a lot. And then I'll just say the bottom left from one picture is a picture of the youth delegation. They knit a prayer shawl for the new primate, and they gave that to her. And the youth actually played a very strong, dominant role at Synod, and that was really important, I think, for Synod. So as one Indigenous elder said, after the vote on the marriage canon came out, he stood up and he said, "Our children are crying." And he sat down. So, can I close with some prayer? If I can find my prayer sheet here. Let us pray. When I was searching, Lord, you did the same. I took my inheritance and you took my shame. Sure of my ways, I went out on my own. Your love was patient, more than I'd ever known. But you stood at the door and waited for me. With arms wide open, you know this name and my face. When I make my bed in the depths below, you dive deeper to bring me back home. We are the sons and daughters of Christ, and nothing can take that away. How deep the Father's love that poured out over us. Alleluia. You've made this wretch your treasure. Amen.